You're listening to Full Guard Fight Radio. Fight. MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hype Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.TV, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.
For whom the bell tolls, Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Telling me one thing, Full Guard Fight Radio. I'm your host, Jason Lennon, alongside my co-host and the man who makes this all possible, Carl Mamad Mortensen. I don't know if I can follow such an incredible introduction. All those great hosts, and then the Undertaker's music to kick us off, and just another Tuesday night. How are you, my brother?
I'm good. It's only the Undertaker's bell, man.
Well, you know what, though? What else is there, really? You know, it's that bell, and then he comes out, and he throws the hands
up,
the fireworks.
I got to admit, I had a lot of fun making that intro. I threw a little bit of the good, the bad, and the ugly in there. You know, a little prong, a little Undertaker.
Yeah, man. The only thing it is missing, and you know what I'm going to say here, but the only thing it is missing is the Iceman. I mean, there's got to be a little vanilla ice somewhere in this, in the next, maybe when we move to terrestrial radio, when we can, when they have the big budgets, we can put a little ice baby in there. There we go. All right. See, doesn't it make you just want to tap your foot and just see, see how you're getting down.
I'm tapping right now, man. I'm tapping like crazy. I almost shook my computer screen right off my table.
You know, if you would have let it play a little bit longer, I would have ran in the house and got on my parachute pants and done a little, done a little breakdancing here in the driveway.
But I wish I had a longer cut of it now, then. All I got is 18 seconds.
Carl, it's another episode of Full Guard Fight Radio. I want to start off by saying I apologize. My whole family is sick. Now you have kids, Carl. So I know you can sympathize with me. You send the kids to daycare. They come home with every disease under the sun. So my youngest boy has pink eye. He has an ear infection. And he has allergies. My oldest boy has the flu. My wife has the flu. I have some cold. It's been a nightmare out here, Carl. But the good news is 72 degrees outside right now, and I'm standing out here in shorts. So,
mackerel. I'm going through one of the coldest snaps of the winter up here right now.
Is this like the peak?
Let's see, in your crazy American Fahrenheit, it must be right around, I don't know, 10 maybe?
Today it was like 10 degrees from the sun up down here, man. It was so hot down here. Holy crap. It was beautiful. I can't even complain. Today was one of the reasons I moved down here from the beautiful state of New York, so down here to Florida. But Carl, we got a big show tonight, dude. We got three guests on here. Usually, kind of breaking from our traditional format of just two guests and some jibber jabber from you and I. But these guests are definitely worth it. We have Cheyenne, the Warrior Princess. Listen, she just had a big fight. It's Tough Enough. Now she's got a fight coming up down here. That girl, man, that girl does not stop. So we have Cheyenne coming up very shortly. Excuse me. I'm going to try not to clear my throat a billion times tonight and apologize for it. So if I need to, I'll mute myself and we'll go from there. But so we have Cheyenne's Listen to Sound. Then we have Ryan the Real Deal Ford, who's going to be fighting the World Series the fighting coming up, his inaugural fight in that promotion. Talked to him in the past. He's a good dude. Looking forward to seeing what he has to say about the World Series of Fighting. And then we also have James Manning, one of Team Madhouse guys, Carl.
Yeah, man. I haven't talked to him for quite a while. He's got a big fight coming up, I believe, in Vermont for a title. So let's find out what all that's about.
Absolutely. Now, I wasn't able to be with you guys. Was it last week or week? Was it last week when I was with you? I don't even know, Carl, to be honest with you.
Last week, yeah. You weren't here last week.
You and Skippy held it down last week for me, and I want to say some big news, some big shakings and movements that have been going on here at the MMA Madhouse. We have made the jump to terrestrial radio, sort of, right, Carl? Want to elaborate a little? I know you may have talked about it a little in the past, but
yeah, we definitely have. Yep, on Saturdays we can be heard on AM 1400. I'll have to look up the call numbers because I don't have them memorized yet. Down in Florida, though, down your way, from 2 in the afternoon till 4, 2-hour block of best of the week. And then we also replay Saturday nights from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. On all 3 of their stations. So, exciting.
It's very exciting, Carl. I got to be honest with you. When you told me that last week, I was very excited for you and Skippy. Very excited for the team. I know a lot of myself included. I know a lot of us are do this for fun and whatever. But it's always nice to say I'm on the radio. So it's very exciting.
It is.
I didn't know. I don't even know. Really. Where I want to go today. I know there's a big sporting event, and I know you don't follow football too much, Carl. I know this is a combat sports. I know this is a combat sports radio show, but I gotta ask you: Did you watch the Super Bowl this past Sunday?
No. Sorry, I did not.
Do you know what the Super Bowl is?
yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah. You guys need one or two teams called the Rough Riders, and us Canadians would follow it close.
All right. Well, so anyway, there's some news. So it's the culmination of the NFL football season. Some people just don't watch football. That's okay. But I'm not really talking about this because of the game. I mean, it was an embarrassment. Seattle just absolutely put it on Denver. I think 43-8 was the final. The number one defense, blah, 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 against the number one offense. But today, some news came out that the NFL is looking into the Super Bowl to be fixed, rigged, I think they call it. I guess I'm going to tie this in to MMA only for one reason. I cannot imagine. Now, this isn't the first time that sports, team sports, has been accused of cheating, being rigged, being fixed. You know, there's basketball. There's the Black Sox scandal, the Pete Rose betting on baseball. Some thought that was fixed. You know, football now. You don't hear a lot about hockey, but, you know, college basketball, college football, the whole shebang. And I was thinking about this as I was reading the article today. I was thinking about, could you imagine? I mean, Bob Sapp might be the closest thing to doing this. He just lays down for dudes. I get it. But could you imagine them shutting the door of the cage behind you and you throwing this? I mean, how would you have to throw a fight? How would you have to fix a fight? The only way you could honestly fix a fight is A, pull a Bob Sapp, or B, just let this dude absolutely maul your face with kicks and punches. I started laughing at myself because I was thinking, you know, everybody is so anti, not everybody, that's a lie. Many people are very anti-MMA, human cockfighting, despicable, disgusting, you know, that kind of stuff. But then I sit back and I think, I spent hundreds, a couple hundred dollars throwing a party this weekend for a sport that now is looking into being rigged, and I couldn't get enough of it. When I couldn't get some of my buddies to watch any fight with me, because they train UFC, don't you know that, Carl? They train UFC. But... it just made me giggle this weekend. But today when I was reading that article, I was just like, you know, and America sport, I guess we call it, football is king now. And they're looking into the biggest game for them of the season, the Super Bowl, as being rigged. And it just made me laugh today because I could never imagine seeing two MMA fighters or two warriors stepping into the cage and just rigging a fight for any amount of money. You're going to get your teeth kicked in for what? A couple million bucks? I just don't get it. Have you heard anything of this, Carl, or am I just preaching to the choir?
A little bit. I have so little time for anything other than MMA that, I really don't pay much attention to anything.
And that sucks for me because I always put you on the spot like that, and I know that. I know you're the busiest man on the planet. Like, you literally eat your dinner on the cracker.
You got me confused with Skippy, but I have no time for any other sport. I really, really don't.
All right,
I'm 100% consumed.
So you're the second busiest man on the planet because Skippy definitely eats his dinner in the shower. You just eat yours on a crapper. So
that's right.
All right. I mean, do you have any thought? I mean, just hearing about what I just talked about, do you have any thought, any opinion on that, or should I just smash my head against the wall?
Yeah, go ahead. No. I really don't know what to say about that. How the hell do you fix a football game? But I guess anything's possible. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I don't know all the ins and outs yet. Very brand new story. It came out earlier today, and I just was thinking. I get a chance to talk to a lot of fighters. I covered World Series of Fighting and had an up close, personal view of the cage and the action, and I just could never imagine MMA guys to ever be anything but just the class, the most class act around. So I guess that's my little opening rant, I guess I'll call it, because it really kind of fired me up thinking, I'm really proud to be a part of this community, this MMA community. So, I get a chance to meet all these cool people and do all this cool stuff. And I never, ever, ever one single time thought any fight was fixed. Never one time. So just made me feel kind of good.
It'd be a lot easier thing to fix than a football game, though. That's for sure.
I guess it would be, but I just can't imagine. I just couldn't imagine two dudes stepping into a cage and letting, fixing a fight. I mean, I guess laying down. I mean, taking the phantom punch or the phantom kick and just laying down for the counter. I guess, but.
The guy who's winning the fight might not even know what's going on, depending on what's going on behind the scenes. And the guy that's throwing the fight, he might be eating a real punch or a real kick, just maybe not having his hands up as high as he should, whatever, taking a real shot.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is I get that. I understand what you're saying, but I guess what I'm thinking is I can't imagine being so hard up for money to – I mean, this isn't some sport where, you just drop a pass over the middle wide open. I mean, you have a real opportunity to get hurt, i.e. Anderson Silva, who was on the offensive, broke his leg, i.e. Corey Hill, on the offensive, breaks his leg. You know what I mean? So I guess being on the defensive or just standing there and letting some guy kick you or punch you or take you down and smash your face open with elbows, I guess I just can't. I can't say that. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just that big of a wuss that I couldn't fathom letting somebody beat me up like that. But who am I? So that's my,
You're the Ice Man.
Now, I'm the Ice Man?
You're the Ice Man.
I have zero ice flowing through my veins. Let me tell you that right now. I'm 6'5", 6'4", like 300 pounds, and I really am scared to death of bats, of, those little flying things. Like, these things are so small. They're so small and minute. I literally, curl up in a ball when I see them. I get petrified. So I'm the biggest baby.
You got lots of those down your way?
Too many. One is too many, Carl.
Oh. We got lots up here.
Let me tell you, I understand we're getting to Cheyenne pretty quick here, but let me tell you a little story. I used to run a youth camp, and I was the director of this youth camp, and, you know, there's 17 cabins. You know, I got 185 or 200 campers. You know, one day one of the bats got in there, and, you know, all these little campers are like, Jay, Mr. Jay, can you come up here and get – absolutely not. You kids are going to have to sleep on somebody else's floor until the morning when this thing is dormant and we can beat it with a club, because I'm not going anywhere near it in the dark when it can fly around and it can pick me out. So absolutely not. I made this group of 15 little 8-9-year-olds sleep on the floor of another cabin because I was too scared to walk into this cabin and go after this little bat. So that's my little spiel. I probably, not only would I have to move out of Canada because of the bat, but because it's so friggin' cold, and, you know, and there you guys probably have polar bears somewhere around up there.
Oh, yeah, there's a few, yeah, grizzly bears, you name it, we got everything, man, wolverines, cougars, 30-pound rainbow trout coming out of my lake, you know, we got it all.
Well,
except for, like, some... You got some crazy bugs that we don't have, though.
See, I'll deal with bugs, man. I really will deal with bugs. I'm not afraid of a bug. No bug is going to maul me like a polar bear. But enough of that. I digress, because we have one of the most spectacular up-and-comers in women's MMA. She's just starting her career, 18 years old, just a spitfire, very energetic, a great fight to watch. I've had the pleasure of talking to her numerous times, one recently, but I'm going to get Cheyenne Blissmas back on. Cheyenne, are you with me tonight?
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are good, and I appreciate you coming back on. When Carl told me that we had you coming on tonight, I was very excited, and I didn't even realize that you were fighting already. So we'll get into that in a couple minutes, but I want to talk to you a little bit first about Tough Enough. I got a chance to watch that fight, and I got to be honest with you. You guys start the show off. You know, I get the pay-per-view, and you guys are starting right away. And let me ask you before we get into the fight itself: as you're coming into the cage, they made you cut your pants. Tell me a little bit about that. What happened?
Honestly, like, I was so mad, but it was just so funny because. I walked out with my MMA Madhouse pants that they gave me, my yoga pants, and I took them off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had custom made long spandex pants for, you know, with all my sponsors on it. And they're like, you can't wear pants. And they said, no, sorry, exact words were, you can't fight in pants. And I said, well, looks like I'm not fighting then. And then the guy was like, do you have shorts with you? I was like, dude, I have my jacket in pants. So I was like, I'm fighting in pants. So I was like, these are my team pants. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
And they're like, well, I'm so sorry. We got to cut them. And when he said that, I was like, no. I was just like, no. I was like, please don't. But it was funny. They're like, I'm so sorry. And then the lady came over and she was cutting them. And I'm just like, I had my hand over my eyes. I was like, you guys are so terrible. And they're like, I'm sorry. And I was like, it's all right. But they're just like, don't let that get to you. I was like, dude, I didn't even put lotion on my legs. I was like, you know, I was messing with them after that. I was like, my legs are ashy. I was like, do you have lotion? I was like, you have scissors. I was like, yeah, I need some lotion now. But no, they're funny about it.
Yeah, I got to ask you, because you come out there, you were very focused. I could see it in your eyes. You were ready to fight, and you get out there, and now – Did that kind of take you back a little bit? Were you did it take you out of your game at all, or did it affect you not even in the least?
What about the pants?
Yeah.
No, I didn't care at all. I was just like, I'm ready to fight. I was just like, cut them, let's go. I was just like, I just messed with them about it. I was like, these are some expensive pants. I don't want you guys to pay me back.
That's what I was going to ask too, because those, I mean, they look sharp. They had sponsors on them, and you know, I could tell those weren't just ones you pick up off the rack. I could tell they were nice, so that kind of sucked. But I wanted you to clarify that for me, because I was like, damn it, I can't believe they're making her cut those. But I didn't realize that was a rule. Is that a rule in all of?
I don't know. The matchmaker came up to me after and was like, "I'm so sorry about your pants." I was like, "Guys, it's okay."
Yeah,
I was
so
like,
am
I won. But they're like, "But he even told me, he goes, I don't know why they cut your pants. It's not in the rules book." And I was like, "I don't know. I'm just happy I won." So, and I, the only thing I was really mad about was I didn't put lotion on my legs. So I was like, "Dang, that sucks." I was walking out. I was like, "My legs are ashy."
It didn't matter because you made quick work of your opponent. It was, you finished her with an armbar. It was a great fight. You guys came out banging, Shane. You guys stand there. The referee says fight, and you guys came to fight. It was a good fight to watch. It was fun. How did it feel? Did it feel pretty good?
It felt great because before the fight, you know, this opponent who doesn't, you know, she doesn't know me. I don't know her. She was talking very badly about me, talking about how I'm just a newbie and she's going to run through me like I'm nothing. So just getting that armbar, I paid my respects after, but it was, like, the greatest feeling. I was like, I did it. I was like, oh, you know. I mean,
Shane,
as soon as I got her arm, I just was like, whoa, no.
that's exactly what I was going to ask you. When you grab that arm and you wrap those, you know, you had your legs in position, did you realize that this was the end of the fight and you were gonna win the fight?
Yeah, I knew right away. I was like, I'm putting all the pressure I can. I'm going to crank it till the ref pulls me off. I was like, I came to win. That's what my game plan was.
Now, let me ask you this one more thing, and then we'll move on to the fight coming up, because I need you to walk me through, because I don't really know. But let me ask you one more question about your tough enough fight. Because you got the arm bar in, did you say anything to her like, you know, here's a newbie now, or did you talk any junk to her, or did you just let her tap and be done with it that way?
No, I asked her if she was okay, and I gave her a hug, and then, you know. I mean, even though she talked about me, I think she realized I wasn't a newbie, but, you know, I mean, it happens. Girls are like that, but, you know, she was nice to me afterwards, so that's all that I care about, you know.
Well, good. And then it was a very successful trip for you and Tony. He got the W later on in the night, and what a great flight home. Well, it had to be a good trip home.
Yeah, the best part was is the promoter, Jason, there's so many of them. Jason, the promoter, he, as soon as Tony was done fighting, I was in the crowd, and I ran over to wait for him, and it was really nice. He let me in the cage with him, and I was like, whoa, thank you. And it was just definitely a great feeling for both of us to come out with both wins and go home winners this time, because we both, unfortunately, came back last time with the not-so-win, but it was definitely fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tony's fight was very exciting. I mean, it was a great fight. It was close. You know, I thought he did a great job. So did he take that fight on short notice? Because on the broadcast, they kept saying he took that fight in 24 and I tweeted something about it, and then the Tough Enough guys got back at me and said, no, it wasn't on short notice this time. But I'm confused. Did he take that on short notice again?
No, they messed it up because these are different speakers, commentators this time.
Oh,
and
okay.
I guess that they got confused. I guess they have like a list, I don't know. But they wrote down that his last fight he took 24 hours and he's back. And they got confused thinking he took this fight on 24 hours. And the whole time. But like, you know, in the fight I watched it with the video that they posted, and man, they kept saying he took this fight 24 hours. I swear they said it like 10 million times, and I was like,
I know.
So his opponent's gonna be mad, and then his opponent actually did get mad, and he's actually not allowed back to Tough Enough.
Oh, really? Is that something you can talk about?
Yeah, his opponent got very mad. Well, it was Facebook noticeable, so I mean, his opponent commented on it and was just bashing Tough Enough, and then his girlfriend went on it, bashed Tough Enough, and Tony was like, listen, dude, great fight. I don't know why they said that, you know, Tony was, and I was like on there, and I was like, great fight, Brandon, you know, because Brandon was very nice to us, so.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
But Brandon was very mad about that Tough Enough thing, saying that he took it 24 hours, which I would be too, but the way he took it was just too much.
too much. It's interesting, Ed. I guess that's why I got confused, too, because I was like, man, they just kept saying it over and over and over again. So I was like, man, this kid is taking another fight on 24-hour notice. This kid, I mean, he's going to – they're going to make like a Mount Rushmore of this kid up there if he keeps taking fights on short notice. But
yeah, it was kind of funny, though. I was just laughing because his last fight, they didn't even say it that much, and you know, and then this fight, they're on there like saying it every 2 seconds, and I was like, oh, man.
All right, so you fight 2 weeks ago, was it 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, maybe, a week and a half or
About a week and a half ago, yeah,
okay.
Almost 2 weeks.
So right after the fight, you guys are down in Vegas, you go out. Did you guys eat as much as you can at all the buffets? You party and do that thing. Now you got to fight, or as soon as you're out of that cage, you're back in the gym. Take me through a week and a half or 2 weeks ago to where we are coming up to your next fight.
Well, actually, in the fight, I was very sick in the fight. If you guys didn't notice, my nose was, like, running. And so after the fight, yeah, we went out. But when we got home, we were in bed for a whole week. We just got out of bed this weekend. I mean, Saturday we just got out of bed, but we were very sick with Tony. I had a fever. He had, like, the stomach flu. So we were no training. We went to training, I believe, Tuesday last week, and that was it. We were like, no, we can't do this. But Tony knew he's fighting in 2 weeks. But my opponent, I was originally already supposed to fight February 15th, but while I was in Vegas, my opponent backed out. She said she refused to fight me because I had too many fights, which I was like, okay, sweet. I didn't want to fight anyways. I'm sick.
Okay.
And then I just found out the other day, Sunday, I was actually kind of getting pressured to fight for February 15th. I kept telling the promoter, no, 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 I don't want to fight. I don't feel good. You know, I want to just train and come back next month for March 8th for another fight that I'm supposed to be fighting at. And they're like, listen, we need you to save the show, and we need you to fight, and they're like, we have Stephanie Alba, and Stephanie Alba is the other girl that fought on the Tough Enough card with me, but she was the girl that lost, unfortunately. And I was like, oh, and I was like, I can't say no, because, you know, like, then I feel like I'm weak. And I was like, all right, fine, I'll fight, just leave me alone. I was like, this is the last time I'll fight a week and a half notice for you. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to save the show. I was like, what do you mean? You know, it was just, he was just trying to convince me to fight, which I'm a fighter. I always fight. I mean, I've had 7 fights in 6 months. I mean, there's no way I can just deny another fight. So I was like, all right, fine. I felt better. Monday I got back to training, and now I'm training again for next week.
So you fight next weekend. You say you fight February 14th. Is that for WCFN, the Wellesley Chapel Fight Night 5?
Yeah, February 15th.
Okay. So it seems like you have a fight booked every month. Is that kind of the plan for you going forward in your career here, Cheyenne?
It just happens. I mean, the way I look at it is like I've told you guys before, as long as I'm healthy and active, there's no reason I shouldn't fight. So, I mean, I'm a fighter. I'm not scared of anybody, and I've had 7 fights now, which means I can't say no to anybody, you know? That's the way I look at it as. I'm an amateur. There's no reason to say no to someone with, like, less fights than you if you have that many, you know? I'm experienced. I know what it's like. I'm healthy. I'm active. I'm training. So there's just no reason to say no in my eyes. But after this fight, I am taking off for a couple months, and I'm going to come back. And I will be going back to Las Vegas this summer, I believe.
Okay. So you fight, you fight last Friday. You have a fight on the 15th. You don't feel well this week past. Where are you health-wise, training camp-wise? I know you had a great camp. You told us a little while ago that the cut was easier for you for this past fight. So I'm assuming you're not too far out of shape, but, I mean, not feeling well. Where are you at physically, I guess?
I'm much better now. I'm 100%. I mean, I trained Saturday. Saturday I was almost 100% better, but I went to training anyways, and then I rested. And then Sunday I rested, and Monday I was right back at it, morning training, night training, afternoon training. And, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't want to lose. I mean, so, you know, got to get back to it. I have a week and a half and train my butt off and go back to fight, and then that's when I can take my break. So
that's when you're going to take your break. Do you know anything about your opponent? You said she was on this the last Tough Enough card. Is that have you had a chance to watch her fight? Do you know who she is? What kind of fight you're getting yourself into?
Yeah, she's I watched her fight Jamie Moyle, who's also a Florida fighter down here in Miami.
Okay.
She lost by decision. She's tough, you know. She's more of a ground person, but you know, she's older. She's 31. She takes hits, you know. I think will be a very good fight for me. And you know, this fight will definitely help me nationally as well because she's high ranked, I believe, and she's 5-3. Her girlfriend is actually Tanya Evinger, Invicta fighter.
Yep.
Yeah, that's her girlfriend. I mean, I got to chat with her a little bit at the, because we had to take a party bus to weigh-ins when we were in Vegas, and I don't know what to call her, but she was complaining about her opponent weighing in 3 pounds over, and I believe she's not even allowed back at Tough Enough again. But, you know, I said hi to her. I didn't know I was going to be fighting her right away. So, you know, I was talking to everybody, and the next thing I know it, they want me to fight her, and they want me to fight the girl that just beat her at the next Tough Enough, and I'm like, oh, man. I was like, okay.
So you being in the I'm trying to figure out how I want to ask you this question. Being in the division you're at, in kind of these different promotions, in the rise of women's MMA, you girls, are really going to get to know each other pretty well inside and outside of the cage now, right? I mean, you guys are, like you just said, you met her on a bus, now you're fighting her, and then they want to fight this girl. So you guys are going to kind of travel the countryside and be like, you know, fighting each other. Is that kind of the way things are going to break down?
I believe so. I mean, you know, I was just talking to Jamie Moyle back in the, you know, warm-up area, and me and her actually got along really well, and I just found out I was actually going to be fighting her now, next Tough Enough, and I'm like, oh, great, you know, but it's all about the sport, but, you know, I guess that's what you got to do. I mean, you know, like tough season, you know, they all become friends in the house and then they got to fight each other. I guess, you know, it's what it's about.
Let me ask you a question. I know you're a big Ronda Rousey girl. I know you're dialed in on, you know, the happenings of the mixed martial arts world. If you ever got an offer to go into the house, say, would you ever do something like that?
What do you mean? Do something like what?
Go into the house for, like, the Ultimate Fighter or, you know, the Bellator. I forget what they have. Like, go into the house and, you know, like Tough or the Ultimate Fighter kind of thing.
I would love to go in the house, but I don't know if I could do an all-girl house like they're doing this next one.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's going to be funny. I know Ticia Torres. I know her personally. Well, not as great, but, I mean, I've seen trained with her before. She's going to that house, and, you know, there's girls that don't like her and then girls that just don't like each other, and I'm like, man, I don't know how they're going to do this. I'm like, I don't know if I could do that. And I was like, I would much rather be in a house with, like, the guys and girls, at least. But, you know, it's just how girls are, you know, especially girl fighters. You know, there's a lot of humble fighters out there that are girls, but then you have find those girls that think that they can beat anybody.
Absolutely.
But I'm excited to watch this next season for the girls.
Is this the first time you're going to be fighting for the WCFN?
The Wesley Chapel? Yeah, it's their first promotion.
Yeah. Oh, this is
my
first fight?
Yeah, it's my coach's promotion, Ingrid Medrano, the girl that my first fight, my first opponent,
yeah.
Ingrid. Yeah, she's my coach. it's her promotion.
Oh, okay. Okay. So
yeah.
This is their inaugural fight, huh?
There's 6 women bouts and like 4 or 5 men.
Really?
Yep, it's so, like the biggest women's card they've had in Tampa Bay area.
It's very exciting, Cheyenne. I mean, you gotta be super excited to be kind of the face of women's MMA down here in Florida. I'm gonna say it, Cheyenne. I mean, to be honest with you, and Carol and I are talking off, you know, behind the scenes here a little bit, and you gotta know that with your personality. I mean, you're bubbly. You're always smiling. Every time I see you, you're smiling. Even when you're in the gym, you're smiling. You're a pretty girl. You're a fighter. You know, you'll take fights on short notice. You gotta know that. Everybody wants you on their card. Is that kind of, I mean, you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't, really, because, you know, you want to take some time off to let your body rest, but, I mean, you're an amateur and you want to fight. So does it kind of suck being you right now, or is it okay?
I don't look at myself like that. I just look at myself as just a newbie still, you know, like not
sure.
A face of MMA yet. But that's the way I have to look at it now, you know, because there's no reason to be cocky as a lot of the girls down here are, you know. A lot of the girls, we have a lot of female fighters down here. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm always on somebody's card every month. But
I know. That's what we were just talking about, Carl and I.
It's my choice as a fighter, but at the same time, you know, my coach gives me these fights and tells me pretty much. He just goes, hey, you're fighting. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, but I was supposed to originally be fighting March 8th next month, and I just told my coach actually Sunday, I said, listen, coach. He actually came over to my house, and we sat down. I said, listen, I want to, you know, rest my body up for the next tough next time we go for Tough Enough, because if I beat Stephanie Alba, they would like for me to fight for their 115-pound title belt against Jamie Moyle, and she's a tough fighter. And I was like, I want to rest, you know, take at least a week or two off and then train my ass off for, you know, the next one, because I was like, I've had a lot of fights. I want to learn a lot now and then go back and be like, wow, you know, be like, she's better, she's bigger, she's faster, you know, everything. I want to take some time off, be like, where's Cheyenne at, you know, and then come back and be a lot better.
Sure. But, Cheyenne, I got to be honest, when you and Ingrid first fought, she was your very first fight ever. She was like the day after, a couple of days after you turned 18. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was 4 days.
4 days, right. I remember, I think I had you on my radio show that Thursday, and you were fighting that Saturday, I think. And
yep.
I mean, there was a little controversy after that fight for some of your in cage remarks. And so bear with me here. I'm gonna kind of go full circle here. You made some remarks there about her, you know, you being the future, and you know, kind of took a jab at her for being older. Now you gotta know that she must have seen something in you that she wants to train you. And I got to be 100% honest with you, Cheyenne. I've watched your career grow from that fight till when I watched you on Saturday, and you have grown leaps and bounds. I mean, you look great. Your striking look much better. You know, your in cage presence. I mean, you're starting to put it together, Cheyenne, and you're really going to start making some splash. So I hope you have a good team behind you. It seems like you do, and it seems like your coach kind of has your best interest at heart, because I really believe, Cheyenne, that if you do things properly, we're gonna see you in you know, some of these big promotions in Invicta. And, you know, I'm already pushing you to Shannon Knapp up there in Invicta.
I mean, I'm hoping that fight with Ingrid, well, just so everyone was cleared, I kind of found out not too long ago that me and Ingrid were, when me and Ingrid started training together, you know, of course we talked about the conflict that we used to have, you know.
Sure, of course.
And we both actually found out that we were set up with all the conflict, like the Wing House incident where we had to do a stare down. That was, everything was a setup. And they built that fight up with that much hype, and look how many people came.
Right.
You know, they had to do it for the promotion, but at the same time, it was really messed up because it made me look bad. I talked down about a person who's actually a very sweet person. You know, I love her to death now. You know, it's weird. You know, it's funny how things happen, you know. And, you know, she was set up with me, and people were telling her things that I said that aren't true. People were telling me things that she said about me. And, you know, I remember I was on here, and I was like, I'm a killer. Like, I don't like her.
Right.
You know, and look, I mean, it's a good thing that I did lose that fight, and I tell her all the time that is the best thing that ever happened to me, because if I would have beaten an Olympic wrestler in second dan in judo, I don't care what anybody says. They would think that they can beat any wrestler after that, mm-hmm. you know? And
absolutely, yeah.
Training with her is the greatest thing. This next fight card, she's actually main event, and I'm co-main event, so we're going to be warming up together. We're going to, you know, she's going to be right there in my corner. I'm going to be right there in hers. Mine's actually a title fight, I just found out, so she'll be right there in my corner. And then, I guess. I mean, it's an amateur title, so, I mean, I don't really care.
Listen, it doesn't matter because, you know, you got to start somewhere. You got to walk before you can run, you know what I mean? So, I really got to give you props, Shay. I mean, you could have, things could have went really bad for you, went really south for you after that fight. Because, you know, you did lose the fight, but you had a good show in your first fight. And, you know, things could have gotten real ugly for you. But I think you really reined it in, and I think you're becoming very mature, and I think you're becoming a hot prospect in the sport of women's MMA. And I really you know, I commend you on that, because it could have went really south for you.
Yeah, it could have. I realized after when that whole incident with Ingrid, you know, me being, I wasn't being the Cheyenne that I really am, I guess, as you guys like this, I can say, was, you know, I was excited to fight, but, you know, at the same time, deep down, I knew I was having a tough fight on the line of her knowing her skill. And after that fight, when I lost, I realized, like, you know, I can't be talking down about a person as much as I don't like them. And better yet, my next opponent, she made videos talking down about me. And remember, it was just a whole big thing. She was calling me this and that. And I kept my mouth shut. And then, you know, I won. And it was like, whoa, you know. It was kind of like, that's, you know, that's what you get. And ever since then, like, I've just, you know, I've had no conflict with no opponents. If they talk about me, I've realized just leave it alone, you know. I've really grown up in the, because I didn't know the MMA world back then, you know. I was just getting started. And having as many fights as I do now, I get to see everything and the way things are. And it's amateur is what I look at it as. Before, I was thinking, like, big time amateur. I don't know what else. You know, it's just I'm growing up as well. So,
absolutely, Shane. You were young then. You know, you, I mean, this is still very brand new to you in the past. So, I mean, this fight you have coming up in a couple next week. I guess it's going to be 10 days or 11 days. It doesn't seem like you have enough time, or your opponent has enough time, to really focus on the trash talk and things like that. So it doesn't seem like, and unless I'm missing something, because I really haven't seen a whole lot of banter back and forth, it doesn't seem like that's going to be an issue this time. It seems like you're just going to focus and get down there and fight.
Like I said, I've had no conflict with no opponent since my first two. Like Sheena, the girl I just fought, I mean, I saw on Face comments about me saying how she said I'm a newbie and she's going to run through me. It's like, she said her exact words were, "It's like wiping before taking a poop." And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, that is hilarious, but at the same time, so mean. I was like, you know, I had a laugh about it because I was like, who says that, first of all?
Absolutely.
But, I mean, now it's like, I mean, Stephanie, if she wants to talk about me, she's 31 years old, and, you know, she's going to look like the 18-year-old if she does, but I don't think she will. I mean, I gave her respect when I saw her. You know, I talked to her. You know, she didn't care for me because, you know, she's a female fighter, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, I mean,
so
I'm just 18 and I'm having fun with it, you know.
That's it. You have a great attitude, Shane. So let me ask you this. So we're going to see you in the cage on the 15th, and we're going to see you at Tough Enough on what date?
I'm not sure, but I know it's going to be this summer. It's in a couple months, they said. They want me to come back and fight for their title, so I'm, like, really excited.
Okay, so you're not fighting in the March event. Is that what you're not fighting in March?
I hope not.
I'm
hoping not. Well, I'm waiting. Right. I was supposed to actually fight March 8th. My opponent that I've had, she was my fourth fight, Lisa Asteria, the 27-second armbar one.
Right.
She wants to rematch me, but she said that she wants to rematch me when she has ground and pound because she can beat me up with ground and pound. So I was like, okay, whatever, just get three fights and we'll fight. And then she just had a fight last week, and she lost by TKO, and now she's fighting. Actually, she's fighting on the same card next week as me, so I'll go say hi to her, I guess. But
that'll be interesting to see.
Not, but she said she's not going to fight me March 8th, so I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to fight anyways.
Okay.
So
we'll see you on Friday, or I'm sorry, the 15th, and then we won't see you again until the summer. So before I let you go, Cheyenne, again, tell everybody who your sponsors are. Thank everybody, your coaches. Let everybody know where they can find you, Twitter, Facebook. You know the routine, Cheyenne. It's like you might as well become my co-host. We talk an awful lot, so you can come on anytime you want.
Okay, I would like to thank my sponsors, Girl Jitsu, MMA Madhouse, Wing House, Juice Plus, What the Buck, and my other one is, I forget the other one, pretty much full Fight Card Radio, you guys, and you can find me at Cheyenne Blismas, last name is B-L-I-S-M-A-S, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. It's all the same. And
oh, you're welcome, Cheyenne, and again, best of luck to you. I'm waiting, Cheyenne, because as soon as – you got to do me a favor. When you win the title and they come in and they interview, you got to thank us over here. You got to say, those guys are the best, and you got to give us a shout-out.
Oh, I'm going to give you a shout-out. Listen here, I'll be on you guys, like, next week. Just call me anytime.
You're the best, Cheyenne.
All right, thank you, guys.
Best of luck on the 15th. And oh, real quick, is Tony fighting on that card too, or is he not fighting that? Is he not fighting them?
We're hoping he's fighting. He's supposed to be fighting at 170, but with him being sick, his weight cut's not going as good as it should be. But
okay,
we're hoping to get him to 170, but I don't think he will make it, to be honest.
Okay, fair
but
enough.
Hopefully.
I appreciate it. And we'll tell him we'd like to get him on here, too, sometime. And we'll talk to both of you soon. Okay, Cheyenne?
All right. Well, he's right next door to me. So, I mean, if you guys ever want to come on, I'll just push him off the bed and wake him up. So.
Fair enough. Thanks, Cheyenne. Have
Bye-bye.
A good night.
Thank you. Good night, guys.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, Cheyenne Blismas. Carl, I'm telling you right now, I know we're going I'm sorry. My throat is killing me. I know we're going to Ryan very soon. But Cheyenne Blismas, I'm telling you right now, man, she is going to be something to deal with for sure in women's MMA. But I know we got a busy pack night tonight, and I'm just getting word that Ryan Ford is ready to rock. So, Ryan Ford, how are you tonight, my friend?
Hey, what's happening, man? I'm doing good. Yourself?
Good. I'm doing all right, man. I can't complain. Now let me ask you real quick: are you up in the like the Northeast up there?
Yeah, well, I'm up in the East, up in Montreal, Canada, training at TriStar Gym.
Training up in TriStar. Is it cold as hell up there? Because I know my producer Carl's up in Canada as well, and he's complaining that it's cold. I'm down here in 72 degree weather in shorts, so I don't mean to rub it in. I'm doing all right, man.
Yeah, you know, I was born and raised here, so, you know, maybe cold for you, but hot for me.
It's hot for you. Fair enough. Ryan, I appreciate you joining us tonight, man. I know you got a fight coming up here for the World Series of Fighting. We're going to get into that. It's your, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's going to be your inaugural fight with them. We'll definitely talk about that. Just kind of want to see how you're doing, see how things have been going for you since the last time we talked. It's been about, I want to say, 5 or 6 months. It's been a while. How have things been going?
Yeah, man, you know, things been going good. You know, I'm back on the grind here up at TriStar. Been up here for about 5.5 weeks now, getting ready for this next fight. You know, Christmas was good, New Year's was good, but, you know, now it's time, it's back to business now.
Yeah. take me through the life of a fighter around Christmas and New Year's, because I know myself, going through Christmas and New Year's, I like to indulge, but I mean, being a fighter, what is that? Is that, you know, does that suck real bad with all the, you know, the smorgasbord of food there or what?
Well, you know what? It all depends, right? You know, my fight obviously ain't till the end of February, so, you know, I had a good time, you know, eating all the good food and, you know, drinking a little bit of Captain Morgan Spice rum here and there. But, you know, obviously if I had a fight coming up that was a little bit sooner, that was, you know, fight camp was during Christmas, yeah, it probably would have been crappy. But, you know, it was all good for me.
All right, fair enough. The last time you were in the cage or you fought was July 5th. Is that correct, in 2013?
Yep, that's correct.
That's correct. Now, the end of February, kind of a long layoff. What kind of, you know, what kind of training camp have you had? Did you stay active, stay in the gym, or did you really take some time off, let your body heal? I mean, you got kind of a huge record, 21-4. That's a lot of fights.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, the last fight that I fought for the AFC title there, I actually broke my arm in the first round and four and a half rounds with a busted arm and ended up choking out my opponent Mike Hill in the fifth round. So, you know, I took some time off the gym. You know, probably the only reason why I did was because I busted my arm. But, you know, it was good for my whole body other than just my arm. And, you know, I got to recover, you know, the whole body got to recover, the arm got to recover, and, you know, sure. I'm back at it 100%, you know, in the gym going hard.
Now, let me ask you a question, because I've never been a fighter and I've never broken my arm in the first round of a five-round fight. Tell me what that's like. Tell me what that's like, breaking your arm and knowing that something's just not right and it hurts like a bastard, or did it not hurt too bad because of the adrenaline? I don't know. But, I mean, walk me through that. You can't be very effective throwing punches and things like that with that arm, can you?
Yeah, well, it's pretty crazy, but, you know, I don't know, me, it's just – something about me. I think I threw that hand and that arm more than I threw the arm that was okay in the fight for the whole five rounds, and I actually choked him out with the arm that was busted. So, man, you know, with me, when I'm in a fight, it's go hard or go home, man. You know, I'll leave it till the end of the fight, unless my arm was actually hanging off of the limb. You know, or the ref saw and he stopped the fight, that would probably be the only way of me being taken out of a fight, because, you know, I'm in there to fight, and, you know, a busted arm ain't going to stop me.
I just think about it, and I'm like, man, I break an arm, I'm probably crying, and I'm at the doctor's office in a hurry. You're out there choking dudes out with it, man.
I knew something was wrong, you know, but I even went to the after party and I was high-fiving everybody. But, you know, a few shots of Patron later, I didn't really feel anything. But I'll tell you right now, when I woke up in the morning, I was like, oh, yeah, something's wrong with the arm.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you a question. There's the Anderson Silva, I'm not sure if you saw the Anderson Silva-Chris Weidman fight, but when he breaks his leg on a kick, when Weidman checks that kick and he breaks his leg, probably has thrown that kick a billion times in the past. I don't know, you know, how you hurt your arm. I don't know, you know, the schematics of it, but does it ever come into play after the fact? Are you ever concerned? Going into this fight, are you 100% over the fact that your arm was broken, and, you know, or do you kind of favor that? Are you going to be thinking about that arm?
No, not at all, man. You know, it's healed. It's ready to go. You know, I'm in the gym with a bunch of beasts here, kicking it, punching it, grabbing it.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah, you know, when Francis Claremont is booting your arm, you know, mm-hmm. 100 miles an hour, and, you know, I'm kind of walking through it, you know, I know it's good to go.
Okay. I just see some of these injuries, like, you know, in the NFL, these guys with their knees and stuff. I just imagine, you know, something psychological has got to be going on there, you know, if you get a really bad cut or whatever. But, I mean, you're an animal. I mean, Ryan, let's not kid ourselves. You're choking guys out with a broken arm. You're probably not going to worry about it. You're probably not going to be worried about it. So.
Yeah, you know, it's you know what, I don't see it being a problem. You know, I haven't even thought about it since I did it. You know, I've been in camp now for, you know, 5.5-6 weeks now, and, you know, there hasn't been one problem at all. You know, I ain't worried about it because, you know, if it breaks again, you know, I'm just going to keep going and do my thing.
Obviously, for God's sakes. you got a fight coming up here end of February with the World Series of Fighting. Now you signed a multi-fight contract, is that right? You're going to be with that promotion for a little while?
Yeah, I signed a 3-fight contract with them or 18 months, you know, whatever comes up first. But this is for their World Series of Fighting Canadian title, the Canada title.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm actually taking on a guy by the name of Joe Powell. I was supposed to fight him in July, but I guess he was injured, so I ended up fighting Michael Hill, who he beat. Which, yeah, you know, with me, it's, you know, the promotions, you know, it's their job to line them up, and, you know, as long as there's a paycheck there and the pay is right, I'm going to get in the cage and I'm going to fight whoever it is, and, you know, I'm going to make sure that I put on a show and make sure the fans enjoy it.
This is the World Series of Fighting, whether it be the Canadian, the U.S., whatever. They're a pretty big promotion. I consider them, you know, one of the top two in the industry. There's a lot of potential for you to be kind of moving around. Walk me through the emotions that you kind of have. I mean, there's the sky's kind of the limit for you right now in that promotion.
Yeah, you know, for sure. You know, they started up this World Series of Fighting Canada, and I'm taking it. You know, they want a Canadian champ, I believe that, you know, I'm the best 170-pounder in Canada that's not signed to, you know, the other organizations. I got a tough test against Joe Powell coming up February 21st. And, you know, I believe that, you know, all the training and sacrifice and hard work that I've put in, that I'm going to come out victorious. And then after that, you know, I want to step up and I want to fight, you know, the Steve Carls, the John Finches, the, you know, Josh Berkman's, because there's pretty much, to me, there's nobody else in Canada that's not signed to another promotion that is on my level. And, you know, people are going to see that February 21st that, you know, when I come in, I step in that cage, it's no joke. You know, I'm coming in to win, and by any means necessary, I'm going to put it on the line.
No, absolutely. I agree with that statement 110%. I've seen you fight in some other promotions in the past, and I've been very impressed about your not only your ability, but but I don't want to say your aggressiveness, but just how you bring it, man. You're just ready to fight. Is that going to be the same way? Now, I've never seen Joe fight, I don't think. Is that going to be the same way you're coming into this fight with Joe, or are you tweaking some stuff up and you're working? I don't want you to give away your game plan, but are you going to be kind of
I'm tweaking up everything. You know, it's mixed martial arts, so you got to be, you got to be getting better at every aspect of the game, right? You know, but the one thing is when I come in to fight, I come to fight, and you know that's in every fight. But the thing is I learn new stuff every day, every training camp. I bring a whole different element into that fight, so you are still going to get that Ryan Ford who comes, and I'm coming to fight. So you know, Joe Powell. I know he knows I know he thinks he is ready, but, you know, I really hope that he is ready when that cage door shuts.
What kind of fight are you expecting from Joe?
I believe Joe's going to be a real tough guy. He's a wrestling, boxing background, so, you know, kind of the same background as me. I believe that, you know, he wants to win. You know, these guys up here in Canada think that, you know, that I'm their ticket to the next big thing, but they don't understand that they never paid for their ticket yet. That's like showing up to an airport with the ticket to Mexico and you ain't got a ticket, right? They're going to tell you back of the bus. So, you know,
absolutely. I got to be honest, at 21-4, I think they better get the wallets out to start buying more tickets because, I mean, that's a very impressive record. You are no joke. I've watched you fight in the past. I mean, you're in a great place right now. TriStar is an incredible, I say, the creme de la creme of training camps. How's training camp going?
Oh, training camp's going wicked, man. I got out here 5 weeks ago, and, you know, from the first day I stepped in, it was like, hey, we getting ready. And it's so good that, you know, my teammates, they're getting ready for their fights as well. Rory McDonald and Robert Whittaker, mm-hmm. they fight on February 22nd, the next day after my fight. Then we got Mike Ritchie fighting in another organization the weekend after. And just, you know, there's a lot of name guys here at the gym. Francis Claremont, he's fighting Jacare. All these name guys that are in the gym, but people don't understand that there's a lot of guys here that people don't know that are creeping on the come up that are in the gym every day. We got, you know, the Ultimate Fighter cast, man. We got Nordim, we got Olivier, we got Chad Laprise, we got all these guys who are, you know, doing big things. And I'm telling you, when we put in work, you walk in TriStar Gym, you know work's about to be put in. And if you ain't ready for work, well, sad to be you.
There's other gyms out there if you're not ready to work, for sure. I absolutely agree with that. TriStar, like I said, TriStar is no joke, and they spit out just some of the top talents in the world. So you're in a good place right now up there. Is this the first time you've been with TriStar, or has this been your home gym for a while?
No, I've actually been coming up here for the past 2.5 years, I believe. So, you know, I've been through 4 training camps up here. And then, you know, when I'm back home, I'm training down at Complete MMA, you know, with another Ultimate Fighter, Sheldon Westcott. You know, we got our BJJ coach there, Andrew McInnes, a black belt under Robert Dries. You know, and then there's a lot of other guys there that, you know, put in the work and they fight and train out there at Complete. And then, you know, I go down to the boxing gyms down in Edmonton. So, you know, I make sure that I surround myself with, you know, all the big players out there that, you know, want to put in the work and, you know, and get down when you step in the gym. And, you know, that guys that know what it takes to be on that next level.
You know, I guess being a professional fighter and one caliber such as yourself, if you want to be the best, I guess you got to kind of surround yourself with the best. So you got to kind of travel. You can't really say, oh, this is going to be my gym, and I'll just park here and make this my gym, right? You got to kind of be willing and flexible.
Yeah, for sure, right? And you know, I'm a big believer in, you know, sacrifices and taking yourself away from your comfort zone, right? You know, that's a big thing with me is, like, you know, I got a wife, I got 2 kids that are at home in Edmonton. You know, it's a 5-hour plane ride away from them. I come to TriStar here, and I'm here for 6 weeks getting ready for a camp. You know, that for me, that's a big sacrifice for me, and that just gives me more hunger and motivation that, you know, I know why I'm here at TriStar. It's to train my ass off so that when I step in that cage, that guy that I'm staring across over there, you know, I got to make him pay for that, right? You know, my son, my daughter, and my wife haven't seen me for 6 weeks. And, you know, that's my biggest motivation is my family. And, you know, it's hard to take that from somebody when you step in that cage.
You know what, Ryan, that's so funny you answered the question that way, because that's exactly where I was going with that. I do know you're married with kids, and I got to believe that those are sacrifices for your whole family. So you don't want to disappoint. You want to make sure you're surrounding yourself with the best people. And I'm assuming the wife of a professional fighter understands kind of that. Now let me ask you this. Does your family travel with you at all, or they're home and that's that?
No, you know what? They're home, and, you know, and they're there. It's, you know, for me, that's a big thing for me. It's
sure.
A big mental thing for me, you know, me leaving them and, you know, just knowing that, you know, I just get focus mentally without them around. You know, I have that drive, and I just have, you know, I wake up every morning, you know, I have a picture right before I walk out my little dorm room at TriStar Dorms, and it's my family right there. And every time that I walk out that door, I stare at that picture, and it's like, this is what I'm here for, you know? And that's what gives me that drive to, you know, those days when you've grinded it out and, you know, you get up in the morning, you're like, man, I got to go to the gym. But you know what? I look at that picture and it's like, bang, I'm ready. The gym is right there.
Yeah, there's got to be no greater motivator than walking out the door, you know, kind of, you know, first thing in the morning, 5 o'clock, it's cold, you want to stay in your nice warm bed, then looking at your family, smiling back at you and saying, you know, not being able to say it there, but being like, Dad, you know, this is what you're doing this for. It's got to be just a hell of a motivator.
Oh, it's big time, right? Like, I got here and I unpacked my stuff, and my daughter, she's 5 years old now, so she's knowing how to write. And I open up my bag, and I see this little letter there that she, you know, made together. And it's like, Dad and Bella, she's like, I love you, miss you. She's like, train hard, Daddy, right? And I'm just like, man, you know, like, for a grown man, you know, that brings tears to my eyes, you know. And that just shows me that, you know, that she even knows. She's 5 years old, but she knows that why Daddy does this, right?
That's so awesome. I'm the father of 2 boys myself, and I could just, you know, I go away for work occasionally, and I'll open up my bag, same stuff, you know, be safe, Daddy, or something like that. And, you know, it just, you know, it's just a kick in the ass is what it is to say, you know what, come home with that W, 22-4, right?
That's exactly right. Like my last fight, July 5th, I told him, I said, Daddy's coming home. Daddy's going to bring home a belt. And, you know, I busted my arm, but I knew, you know, Daddy had to come home with that belt. I said, I'm bringing that belt home. That belt is coming home no matter what.
So it wasn't the fact that you really wanted to fight through that broken arm. You didn't want to go home with no belt and have your five-year-old be like, you know, tapping her foot at you, being like, you said you were bringing home a belt, Dad.
Exactly. Where's this belt?
That's right.
Yeah,
Ryan,
I couldn't say, Daddy let the other guy take it home. No, it ain't
happening. That's right. Let me ask you, where are you in your training camp? Now, you're like a 10, 12 days outside of the fight or maybe a little bit longer, but where are you in your training camp? I mean, you got to know what you're looking to do, what you're going to be doing. Are you tweaking stuff? Are you changing stuff? Are you, you know, where in your training camp are you right now?
You know what? I'm still in full blast training mode right now. I think I have about two, maybe three more hard sparring sessions left before, you know, start winding down and then just keeping the timing sharp, which is, you know, the timing sharp already. But,
sure.
I'm ready to go. Like, if they say, Ryan, you got to fight tomorrow night, I'm ready to go. That's where I am, right? I just got this extra 2 weeks to, you know, to keep getting better and, you know, everything to just keep getting that much sharper. So, yeah, you know, it's 3 weeks away, three Fridays away. And, you know, I'm ready. With me, you know, is you know, everybody's got a game plan until, you know, that door shuts and you get punched in the face, right?
Right.
You know, I can say I'm going to say I can do this, I'm going to do this, but, you know, I don't really know what's going to happen until, you know, that fight starts. So I just pretty much go in there and do my thing, you know, and work on whatever, you know, whatever situation comes up, I'll be ready for it because I've been training with all these guys here that, you know, any situation can come up and, you know, I got to deal with it here. So what's the difference of me dealing it in the cage with one guy?
Now, you train with some of the greatest in the world. Now, is there a time in the cage that things, and this is going to sound goofy, but things slow down for you when you're fighting in real, you know, not in training camp, but when you're standing across from a guy who you don't know, you've worked on it so much. Is there muscle memory for you? Is it, did things slow down and you can see things happening, or you just react and you have been going at it so long, or do these guys just have you so prepared that it's, you know, it's like, you know, it's like fighting me, which would be nothing. I mean, does that kind of happen? Does that kind of happen?
Yeah. The biggest thing with me is I never underestimate my opponent. My opponent's coming to fight me, and, you know, he's coming to bring it his all. But, I see me training with all these guys, you know, in the gym that are helping me prepare to get ready for this fight. When I do step in the cage, I know that I prepared myself to the best that I could prepare myself with the best guys that I know are better than the guy that I'm fighting. So I believe that all that training and all that work put in, that I am better than him. And, you know, I will see what's coming, you know. The one guy in the gym might have a faster jab. The one guy might have a better takedown. So, you know, I've been training with so many types of different guys that what this one guy brings to me is not going to be something that I haven't seen already in the gym.
Sure. Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. Is it like, you know, they say, you know, in baseball, they say the ball looked like a beach ball coming at me. I just was hitting the ball so well. So I'm just wondering if that kind of is the way things work in mixed martial arts, too. It's just like you already know. You know what he's doing before he does. So that's kind of.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You always want to be one step. You want to be more than one step ahead, but
sure,
you're usually always one step ahead of your opponent. Kind of know what he's going to bring, but you know, things can change, and you know, you just gotta go with the flow and you know, do your own thing.
Yeah. How's your weight cut coming, Ryan? Do you feel like you're in a good spot?
Oh yeah, I'm always in a good spot. That's the thing with me, man. You know, I believe, you know, this is a professional sport. You know, I'm a professional fighter at 170 pounds. I fought 25 pounds and I've never missed weight once. I believe that is that, you know, it is my job to fight and put on a good show for the fans, but it's also my job to make the weight that I need to make that day. You know, some guys, oh, you know, half a pound or a pound over and stuff. I don't think that is very professional, you know, because that just tells me one thing. You obviously didn't train hard enough. You're mentally not focused, or you just, you know, you just ain't ready to fight me. Because I know that I do. Or you just don't care. And if that's the case, if you just don't care, well, when you get in that cage, you are going to care, because I know that, sure, I'm ready.
Sure. You know, as a fan of this sport, nothing bothers me more than I pay, you know, I work just a regular job, and I pay my hard-earned money to go see these guys fight, professionals fight. I want to see them come in and take it as seriously as I took my job so I could pay the ticket. Nothing in this world bothers me more than seeing professional fighters miss weight. And I get it. If there's an injury and you're injured and you can't make weight, I understand that stuff. But if you just don't care, it really pisses me off. And I appreciate you being a professional say that upsets you too, because it really drives me crazy.
Oh, for sure. And also, you commented, you said there about the injury. Well, you know what? If you're injured and you can't make weight, well, then you're injured and you can't fight.
Okay.
You know, because I believe that making weight is part of the fight. Because for me, that is the fight. To make the weight is part of the training. To get in the cage and fight, that's like, you know, you walk the red carpet and now it's showtime. You know, it's
sure,
a VIP screen. You know, it's now we get to see what you've done with all that filming, all that hard work, all those cuts, all those takes. You know, I believe that when you step in the cage, that's the movie premiere.
Yes. You know, Ryan, I agree 100% with you. I really do. And you know, if you're not willing to make the sacrifices, I'm sure there's another guy out there that's willing to make those sacrifices, that's willing to leave his family like you are. I mean, it's got to piss you off that you've left your family in what's comfortable for you to come here to fight a guy who doesn't take it seriously.
Oh, for sure. I had one guy that did that in my in that I fought. You know, I'm not going to say his name. I'm not going to disrespect him by that way. But I will tell you right now, he missed weight by 7 pounds. And I can tell you
right now, man.
I could have finished him in the first round, but I made him pay for those 7 pounds because I had to cut those 7 pounds. And,
absolutely,
you know, it was bad on his part. So, you know, you want to miss 7 pounds? Well, I'm going to make you pay for that. And if I
absolutely
feel that I have an advantage where I can control that whole fight the way that I want to control that fight, I'm going to make you pay.
Man, oh, man, I couldn't. I could sit and talk to you all night, Ryan. I really could. But I'm being told we got to start wrapping up here, my man. Listen, before I let you go, I want you to tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter and Facebook. I want you to be able to thank your sponsors. I want you to give a shout-out to whoever you want. So the floor is yours, okay, my man?
All right, man. I just want to give a shout-out, you know, to all my supporters out there who are supporting me from day one. You know, I want to give a shout-out to all my sponsors, Harley-Davidson, Edmonton, Yellowhead, Macro Construction, FS Clothing, Urban Limousine, Chicago Joe's, Travel Gurus, Funk in the Trunk Records, Crooks and Castles, Nello's Italian Cuisine, Olympia Supplements, Oxygen Yoga and Fitness Brentwood, YEG Dance Club, Northside Records Promotions, Royal Empire Jewelry, and G-Dub Clothing. I want to thank my family for supporting me, you know, coming out here, doing my thing. And, yeah, man, you can hit me up on Twitter, Ryan Ford MMA, or you can try to find me on – you can hit my fan page up, Ryan The Real Deal Ford on Facebook. I have a lot of friends on my personal page, so you probably won't be able to do that. But, yeah, man, check out NBC Sport Live February 21st. Ryan Ford in the main event versus Joe Powell for the World Series of Fighting Canada strap, and yeah, be ready for a show.
Ryan, you got a fan in life for me, my brother. I really do. I you know, I think it's just incredible. You know, I'm a family man myself, so I, you know, when you're talking about family, you hook me. But I got to ask, you got a laundry list of sponsors right there, man. You got to believe. You got to be pumped that so many people believe in you, that they're hopping on board, man. That makes you feel good, right?
Yeah, you know what? It makes me feel so good because, you know, without them, you know, this is all I do. This, you know, I fight for a living. And, you know, without my sponsors, you know, helping me for my training camps and, you know, pay, you know, just everything that they do helps me. Another big shout out to Robbie Stein at the TriStar Dorms. You know, he takes care of me when I come out here where, you know, I get to, you know, he has a room here for me and stuff. It's just a walk like 10 steps to the gym at TriStar. So, you know, I want to give a big shout out to him. You could check them out on Twitter, TriStar Dorms. If anybody in the world that wants to come for a good training camp or just come learn the skills that everybody's learning here at TriStar Gym, give them a shout. Robbie and Greg, those are the men that can help you out. And, you know, another big shout out to, you know, Coach Faraz the Hobby and all my training partners at TriStar, always preparing me, getting me ready for my fights.
For sure, Ryan, and I'm going to be watching on the 21st. And I got to ask, did you write all your sponsors down? Because you got them off in a hurry, my brother.
You know what? I pulled them up on my computer because I knew you were going to ask me. So, I can't be missing any of them.
I respect that 100%, my man. James, listen, my man, can we get you back on after you win that strap? And can we talk about how the fight broke down?
Always, brother, always. I'm always ready.
Ryan, I appreciate it, and best of luck to you. I'll see you after you win that strap, all right?
All right. Thanks a lot, brother.
All right, man. Line four, ladies and gentlemen, World Series of Fighting, the Canadian. I'm going to be going to win the strap. My man is a family guy. He's ready to go. He's focused. You can hear it in his voice, and I really appreciate that it upsets him that he gets it. You know, not many of the fighters that – some of the fighters don't get it, and I appreciate that Ryan Ford, being as elite as he is, he gets it. He understands the fact that making weight is part of the fight. It is the fight, he said. His words verbatim, and nothing in this world upsets me more than fighters missing weight, so I appreciate that a fighter of his caliber believes that as well. So without further ado, I'm getting yelled at in the back, so Carl, I'm sorry we're running long, man. Is James ready?
He's ready to rock, man.
James, how are you, my man? James Manning, fighter out of – James, are you up in – where are you at? You're up in Maine up there?
Up in Vermont.
Vermont, I'm sorry. How are you this evening? I appreciate you joining me. It's probably a little colder where you're at than it is where I'm at down here. 72.
Oh, yeah, it's only like 6 right now up here.
I don't mean to rub it in, but I'm from Buffalo, New York, so I know that, man. I moved out of the frozen tundra down here into the warmth. So I appreciate you joining me on a cold night, man.
I appreciate you having me.
James, do me a little favor. Kind of walk me through who you are. I don't know a whole lot about you. I was talking to Carl a little bit about you off the air prior. I know some of my listeners might not know who you are exactly. So who is James Manning?
Just a local fighter up here in Vermont. I got hold of Carl a while ago, and he ended up sponsoring me. So I've been representing MMA Madhouse with Bruce Richards for a while, but he just moved down to Florida. Nice and warm down there, too.
Let me ask, when did you start fighting? Take me through the transition a little bit from who you were to who you are now.
I started off in boxing in high school and did some wrestling tournaments after high school, and then I ran into Tom Murphy up in St. Albans and started training with him and started taking fights since 2008.
Okay.
This is my 8th fight. I'm fighting for the title February 15th. Pretty excited about this one.
You're fighting in you have a fight in Vermont. That's where the fight is.
It's in Plattsburgh, New York.
Oh, Plattsburgh. Okay. what weight class do you fight in?
Light heavyweight.
Oh, fair enough, my man. I apologize. I was thinking of something. I'm going to ask you a question in a little bit, but I want to get there first. So you start off in boxing. How did you realize that you like to get punched in the face? Because I'm not a big fan of getting punched in the face. How do you become a boxing guy instead of basketball, per se?
I did both, but it's just a challenge. You know, basketball, you got a team, but this is really pushing yourself.
Sure.
And I just like the challenge of pushing myself to be the better person at the end of the night.
All right. So you're fighting light heavyweight in Plattsburgh, New York. Do you sign for the 205 title?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So training camp is kind of winding down, I'm imagining, right? You're fighting, what, the 15th, did you say?
Next Saturday.
Okay. So you're fighting on the 15th. Where are we training camp-wise? I know, see, I always like to talk to the fighters about kind of like a week out or 10 days out where they're at, because I've never fought. I've never been inside a cage, but I just love the mindset, because you got to kind of be in a different place. You know, 10 days out, what are you working on in your training camp? How is the weight cut coming? You know, where are you at mentally? Take me through that process, if you would.
The weight cut is coming great. I always prepare, like Ryan was saying, it's so disrespectful not to make weight, especially for a title fight.
Sure.
So I'm 10 pounds off with a week and a half to go. Just been doing a lot of cardio, a lot of techniques at the gym this week, and my coaches are running me through tons of ground, tons of stand-up wrestling drills.
Okay.
And pretty much getting me prepared for every little scenario.
Okay. Do you know your opponent? Have you had a chance to kind of game plan for him?
Yeah, I've watched some of his fights. He's fought some of my friends, so I got a lot of good insight on him. He ducks his head when he gets punched, so we've been working a lot of uppercut combinations. When he does that, he kind of tries to grab for a leg to just move out and get him from the side.
Okay.
Tough guy, though.
Huh. When you're game planning, I mean, there's not a whole lot of tape on local guys all the time. I mean, it's difficult to get footage of these guys. So when you're game planning, I know it's mixed martial arts and you have to be well versed in all disciplines, but is it more imperative, I guess, fighting in these type of shows and promotions, because you really don't have a whole lot of, I mean, it's a good thing he's fought a couple of your friends and you've been able to see a little bit anyway, but is it difficult sometimes to kind of game plan, or you just feel comfortable in all aspects of your game?
I have some of the best coaches. They just get us ready for everything, so I'm never really concerned. I just like to know what kind of style, if they wrestle more, their striker, then I can kind of base everything in the camp off of their style.
Okay. What discipline do you feel? I know you said you started off with boxing and then you did some wrestling programs. Do you still feel most comfortable boxing, or do you find yourself maybe going to the ground a little bit more, or where are you at?
I've actually really evolved with jiu-jitsu, and being on the ground is one of all my wins come from submissions and taking people down and TKOing them.
I think that's kind of where I would like to be as well. I think if, you know, in my fantasy world here, I think that I'm not a big fan of getting kicked and punched and whatnot in the head, so I think I would want to be in the ground as well. What are you expecting from your opponent as far as like what disciplines he's going to be coming at you with?
I hope he comes with everything. This is a title fight, and I expect to fight the best of the best.
what do you like to do, I guess, after, I mean, your fight's, you know, next week or next Saturday, 10 days, whatever it is, Sunday when you wake up, besides healing, maybe. What do you like to do for, you know, if you're not in the gym or you're not preparing for a fight?
I'm going to hang out with my beautiful little baby girl all day.
Oh, very cool. You have a daughter?
Oh, yes. I've spent a lot of time away from her these past couple months, so I'm just going to sit down and hang out with her all day long.
Very cool. How old is she?
She is almost 5 months old.
Oh, wow. Oh, so she's a baby, huh?
Yeah.
Very cool. Is the fight world, is that something that you want to possibly make a profession out of, or are you happy just doing it, you know, amateur?
Oh, no. If I win the title on next Saturday, we have to defend it March 22nd. If I defend the title there and then win my next fight in April, I'm going to make a transition to pro, to an organization down in Mass.
Okay. All right. So you kind of have a game plan here. We win the title on Saturday. You have four fights total before you can turn pro. Is that kind of the way you just broke it down for me, or is it three fights?
It's three fights. It's two MMA fights and then a Muay Thai fight. And based on all of it, it'll be my decision in the next couple months after that to go down to Mass and hit the pro circuit.
Okay. And is there a big MMA pro circuit down in Massachusetts that you can fight for?
Yes, Warrior Nation. I've already contacted the guy, and he's excited to have me come down.
I know down here in Florida that you have to have you have to be 500 or better and have five amateur fights. Is there a rule or a law up there that that you have to do something of the same in Vermont?
I haven't heard of one, but I'm sure they have specs they want, like wins to losses and finishes, things like that.
All right. Well, James, I appreciate you you coming on with us tonight. Before I let you go, I want to give you an opportunity to thank your sponsors. Tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter and Facebook. Kind of give shout-outs, the whole shebang. So the floor is yours, my friend. Go ahead.
I was giving it up to MMAMadhouse.com. They've been with me for a long time. Really appreciate them. Fight it out. Got to throw it out to my camp, United Fight at Arts Institute, down in South Bronx, Vermont. Crew Ballard, Mike DeRozier, all the guys I trained with. I couldn't do any of this without those guys.
Do you have Twitter and Facebook or anything like that so our listeners can find you, follow you?
I am right on Facebook, James Manning.
James Manning. James, listen, my man, after you come, after you win the fight and they bring the strap back, we can get you back out and we can talk about the your transition to the pro game?
I would love that.
All right, bud. James, I wish you the best of luck on Saturday, my man, and come back and talk to us soon, okay?
Hey, thank you very much.
All right, man. As you know, James Manning, 205 fighter out of, I didn't catch the promotion, but he's fighting out in Vermont, fighting for the 205 strap on Saturday. Carl, just again, man, you find these guys all over the countryside, bro. You got guys in Oregon and Vermont. You're touching all four corners of the North America, my man.
North America and beyond, brother.
And beyond, that's right. That's right. We're moving over into Asia here. Pretty soon.
Hard working, ass kicking Skippy did some grinding today, and we're moving into the Philippines now. We're working on Germany. Of course we've got Jorn in Norway. I never say his name properly, and it pisses me off. 2014 is going to be a killer year, man. I tell you right now. We're taking this thing to a whole new level.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, man. I'm just super pumped about being a part of the transition. I mean, we got guys like James Manning. I get a chance to talk to him, who's not even pro yet, and he's fighting out of a little promotion up in Vermont. And then I get a chance to talk to a WSOF fighter who's fighting for the Canadian title on Saturday. I mean, it's just incredible. I get to talk to probably one of the best female fighters down here in the state of Florida, Shive Lisbeth. You know, it's just incredible, man, and the sky's the limit. But I'm really pumped about some of the stuff that's going on in Florida, I mean all over, Carl, Germany, Iceland or Finland or wherever, Greenland, whatever you got. You got polar bears up there writing stories for you and how they're fighting and whatnot up there. And, Asia, and it's just incredible, man. I don't know.
Mr. London, how are you, sir?
Oh, boy. Ladies and gentlemen, none other than Skippy Tolan. How are you, my friend?
Hey, wonderful show so far tonight. I've really been impressed. You guys are killing it. And I'm doing great, man. Some good news to add to your talking about expansion of Madhouse. Today we worked a deal. Everybody can go out to smokersfights.com. And you guys can find our beautiful logo there as part of one of their contributors now to the Filipino local MMA scene. We will start to be bringing live results, videos, interviews, everything from about five or six organizations based in the Philippines.
I got to say, man, it's kind of one of the things I was hoping. You know, I always do this. I don't even talk to Carl beforehand or you beforehand to see if I can even talk about this stuff. I kind of just, like, drag Carl down this road and hope that he gives me everything I want. So I appreciate. I saw the post and I saw the logo, and I was just like, I got to see if I can get this out of Carl without actually talking to him about it. So I'm probably going to get fired one of these days for doing that. But I can't be more excited, brother. First of all, the logo is kick ass. I don't know if Jack did that or if you, one of you guys did that, but they didn't.
They did it today to say thank you, because they're trying very hard at Smoker Fights, Vincent over there. I've been working with him and talking with him for a little bit, and I finally got him to come check us out and see what we're about. And 10 minutes later, he was like, you're exactly what we're looking for. They believe that they have a great group of mixed martial artists coming up in the Philippines that nobody's paying attention to stateside. Well, they realize that that's what we're about. We don't, you know, we're not Zuffa Zombies. So to thank us, they went ahead today and put us on their website with a hyperlink right away. I mean, I'm talking 10 minutes after I hung up the phone. Then they turned right around and made that banner with both of our logos and started sharing it. And so they put us in, I don't know, he added me to 8 or 9 different MMA private groups down there for Filipino gyms. And added our logo in there, and that, you know, please go check out Madhouse. They're going to be supporting Filipino MMA. So, you know, it's our ever, you know, growing attempt to try to bring, you know, as much coverage to fans as possible.
Yeah, it's just incredible to me that, and you and I always bust your balls about it, but I'll be sitting in the middle of a meeting and I'm watching some Russian kickboxing fight over at noon on a Tuesday, because Skippy's like, "Man, you got to check this out." But it's just incredible to me, man, the amount of people you guys more so are starting to touch with, these contacts, and just it's going to be amazing to me to see the talent that we get a chance to talk to and to see, and then when they make it big, you know, finger quotes, make it big, because they're just incredible fighters and they get picked up by whoever. You know, everybody's going to be on board and say, oh, these guys are great and blah, 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 when in actuality, you guys, we have, you know, have had an opportunity to see them, talk to them, and to experience it with them. So it's just awesome, man. It's super awesome to be a part of this train, man.
I love you being part of it. And, you know, that's the thing is, you know, there are so many talented fighters out there. Like tonight, you got to talk to some, and, you know, to me, it's the best part of this, you know, being able to, you know, expose these, you know, younger fighters or beginning pros to, you know, maybe other fans, other markets, other sponsors. You know, it's what we do. I mean, I look this year, you know, we've started working closely with AFL in Spain, which is Aznar's fighting league. You know, we're working close with Contenders Promotion in Ireland or in Scotland, which is a kickboxing league. We're working close with Super Combat in Romania, another kickboxing league. You know, we're working close with Rough China, you know, great league. You know, it's just, you know, we're trying to work in the United States, but there's also so much. Like tonight, you guys probably didn't even know this, but 300 Sparta is just now about to have this semi-final of their 66-kilogram tournament, and for Americans, that's basically 155. They're doing an 8-man one-night tournament right now live, you know, and it's what, a Tuesday night, you know, I mean, there's right. Just because, you know, here in the States, folks maybe took, you know, today as it's a work day, nothing else is really happening important in sports world. It's not the same way the rest of the world. I mean, I'm blessed. I've lived in like 20 countries, you know, not everybody lives a 9-to-5 schedule.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%, Skippy. And let me tell you what, you are one badass dude. It's so funny to put a face with the voice and, you know, the conversations and things. It's always funny. It's always funny to see when, you know, you finally get a chance to see somebody. And I got to be honest, man, I had no, like, when I had this mental picture of you, you're a badass dude. I would be nervous if I was walking down the street and I saw you coming and it was dark out. But
you forgot that Skippy's only 4.5 feet tall, though.
I don't know if that's the truth. Is that the truth, Skippy? Because you're always sitting down every time I see you.
I'm just a smidge taller.
Oh.
That's awesome. No, man, it's just incredible. Now I got to go inside and I got to find this link for this fight. You know, it's midnight down here, 12:30 down here, and I got to work in the morning. But I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch because not because you tell me to, but because you tell me to. If that makes any sense whatsoever. And
hey.
Go ahead, brother.
No, finish, brother.
You don't tell me to, but you really do. You're just like, London, you got to check this out. I know you like it, and I do. I'm always catching myself, you know, got my iPhone on, and, you know, I'm sitting at my desk with, you know, some Russian speaking and kickboxing going on, and my coworker's like, what in the hell are you watching? And I'm like, well, my man Skippy tells me to watch it, so I'm going to watch it.
Well, I'll be honest, I'm actually right now, I just been channel surfing to see what else is going on. I started watching that, they're rerunning that Russian program. I found this television program, guys. It's called, dude, it's in Russia. It's called Man, A Weapon of Death, and it's hosted by Big John McCarthy and Randy the Natural Couture. They train these guys, and then they fight at the end of the show. It's a great show. It's anybody out there, it's on Fighter TV or Russian Channel 5 in the Balkans. And I think like 2 in like, you know, St. Petersburg area. But you guys can always follow me. I'll share it with all y'all. But I'll tell you something, London. For the longest time, I've never really used my photo because I don't post anything personal ever on my Facebook page. Like once a year, something to my wife, you know, thank her, you know, to show her I love her. But I always use something else, whether it's our logo or fight poster, a fighter. And occasionally I'll use like a regular person and it's not even me. And so many people are like, is that what you really look like? Well, now on the TV show, everybody's starting to figure out what I look like, which is kind of funny.
It's just funny to you because you hear somebody's voice and then you talk to them and you get this mental picture of, oh, I kind of have an idea what Skippy looks like. I'm not going to lie to you, brother. You don't look anything like I thought you. I thought you were going to be all, you know, I didn't think you were going to have any tattoos. I didn't think you were going to have, you know, the goatee or the beard or anything like that. So, it's funny to me. It makes me, it's always interesting to see that breakdown.
Well, most people would never be able to guess what a half Mexican, half Jew looks like anyway. So, you know.
What do you guys got going on this the week? You guys got anything confirmed for Friday's The Rogue Show?
This week, tomorrow night, we're going to have Bobby Emmons and Gian Herrera on, two great individuals. And then I'm not sure who the boys have Thursday. Friday, you know, we're going to do open call lines, but there's rumors that Rickles might call in and hang out. I'm not sure, though. Somebody on his behalf asked if, you know, what the phone number was and he might want to call in. So I gave it to him.
Huh. Well, before we part ways this evening, I got to be honest. We had a little Facebook conversation and without getting into great detail, I want you guys to know, and this is out in the open. If you need me to unleash the guard dogs, my friend, you let me know. You say the word and it will be on.
Dude, I'm London. I'm gonna send you something I sent Carl. It's the latest email, and just get a kick out of it. I mean, like, the guy's crazy. I mean, literally.
Yeah, no. I reading and hearing and just paying attention to some of the stuff in the past, 2 months ago or whatever, and then the most recent stuff I'm telling you right now, man, I'm like Papa Bear, man. I'm very protective of my family, and you know, if you say the word, and I will unleash the fury of God. I mean, you guys have seen my fury. It takes all of about 3 minutes, but we'll have
I've seen it all.
You know, we'll have seen
some of the... But Jason,
some of the group.
I would ask you in a heartbeat to go handle this in the nature that I believe you could physically possess. But my only concern is if he listened to the show tonight and he pulled an 8-ounce flying bat out of his pocket, that you would run the other way.
You have no idea, brother. If he has an 8-ounce bat anywhere near him, he's a sick individual and I want nothing to do with him. Secondly, I would run like nobody's. I would be like Usain Bolt. I promise you, and I'm a big man. I'm not that fast, but I will be on the move if I see that stuff.
You know, and that's I'm sorry, but that when you told the story earlier, brother, I mean, me and my wife are sitting here in the studio just cracking up.
And that's not a joke either, Skippy. I'm really, like, petrified. I, like, tear up. I, like, was hiding. I'm, like, it's looking at me. No, dude, I'm not down with that. I'm, like, you know, you start getting little bats and stuff when they're, like, diving bombing my head. No, I'm not down with any of that, brother. You know, and then if one of my kids get bit, I have to send the whole shebang over to get rabies shot. Now, really, why don't I have rabies? Why don't I have something that can have rabies and biting me? It just, I'm not down with it, dude. The rats with wings, and I hate them. I'm not scared of anything else in this world except bats.
Well, gentlemen, I'm going to get out of here and let you guys wrap up.
All right, brother. Skip a good talk to you.
I got a bat story for you.
Why would you do that to me, Carl? It's late down here.
This one sort of traumatized me a little bit, too. It was, probably about 3 o'clock in the morning. Wife and I are sleeping. This is like 10 years ago. There was no kids involved or anything. I guess it was longer than 10 years ago now then. We're sleeping away. All of a sudden, I'm getting shaken. Carl, there's something flying around in the room. Like, yeah, whatever. I, grumble, bury my head in a couple pillows. Couple minutes later, it's like, no, something's flying around in here. It turns out there's a bat flying around in our bedroom, how are you supposed to catch a bat and get it out of your bedroom at 3 o'clock in the morning? Well, turned on the light, went and got an old .22 that I used to own, and, I shot it.
I got so many things wrong with this story. This is a
true story.
No, I'm sure it is. But first of all, Carl, why in God's creation did you not pack a bag and move out of that house immediately? Secondly, how did you shoot a bat? Those things are fast, man. Those things are, like, elusive.
Well, it's not like I shot it out of the air. We flicked on the light and it crashed into some, I don't remember, there was something hanging on the wall, like a house coat or something, and it sort of tucked in there, and, I went in the other room and grabbed this little old .22, and, end of story.
Yeah, I've had a few encounters with bats, and not one of them ended well for me or the bat. I don't even know, man, it's like, I am really petrified. My poor sister was like, my sister's 9 years younger than I am, so I was maybe 15, 14 at the time, so she's 5 or 6. And literally, the same thing, we had a bat in the house, and my cat at the time, I hate cats almost as much as I hate bats, but we had this cat when I was a kid, and it was going crazy. So I literally realized what it was. At first, I thought it was like a bird or something. I realized what it was. My sister, mind you, 5 or 6, I pushed her in the room and shut the door behind me as I ran out. So my sister, who's 5 years old, is locked in the room with this bat. I didn't care. I didn't care if she perished. I didn't care if she got rabies. I didn't care. I was out of there, and I ended up being grounded for about 7 months, but whatever. So.
Your story's better than mine. You win.
No, you shoot stuff. You can't shoot stuff down here.
Well, I probably shouldn't have either, but you know. what the hell else was I going to do? I just wanted to go back to sleep, man. It was like, you know, I had to go to work in like 2 hours.
I get pretty
grumbly in my 5 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. I probably wouldn't have shot the bat. I would have turned the weapon on myself and just put it in my mouth and been done with it because, I'm not going to be anywhere near a bat. But
I've had to chase a few squirrels around, too. You're not scared of squirrels, are you?
No, God, no. I don't care about a squirrel. I don't care about snakes, spiders, dogs, crickets,
just cats and rats and bats and...
No, I'm not even afraid of a cat. I'm not afraid of a rat. I'm sorry. Those bats are just ridiculous. They're just small, and they look hideous. They're all, I got nothing. I'm no use for them, Carl. But before we wrap up here tonight, I don't know, without going into detail, you give me the word, Carl, and I will have pictures, and I will have, you name it. We'll make life hell. For one such villain.
I've seen your work and I know what you can do, but you know, I think we're just gonna try to lay low, let it all blow over, let it go away. Anyways, great show, Cheyenne Velissimus, great interview, great young lady. So excited to watch her develop and rise up through her career. It sort of reminds me a little bit of Jessica I in a way, because you know I started following Jessica really close around her third amateur fight. I think I interviewed her the first time she was about to have her third amateur fight, and you know, been following her for a super long time. And you know, I see Cheyenne going the same route.
Yeah. You know, I'm really happy when I talked to her a little bit tonight about her maturing and in moving in the proper direction, I want to say. I really am serious about that because it could have gone really south for her after that Ingrid fight. She made some disparaging comments about, you know, an Olympic wrestler, an Olympic champion. And, you know, it was kind of embarrassing for Cheyenne, but I don't know who got a hold of her. I don't know if she just realize that wasn't what you wanted to do and the way you want to present yourself, but she has really become, she's really something special, Carl, and I really think you got on board, you meaning MMA Madhouse got on board in a good time. I think she's something special, brother.
I believe so, too. Definitely looking forward to it. I know Matthew's heading to the event at the Wesley Chapel Fight Night 5, so, you know, we'll be getting up-to-date live results from that. Then we had Ryan Ford. Always a great interview, man. That was a great interview you had with Ryan tonight. I'm a huge fan of Ryan Ford.
Yeah, I had fun with Ryan. It's the second time I've got a chance to talk to him, and I think the first time was like 6 months ago. I mean, it's been a while. It's been a long time since I've talked to him, and you know, he's down to earth. He's honest. He's open. And I, like I said before, I went to James. He gets it. He just understands that there's like this is a job. This is the decision he made to support his family. And he gets the fact that making weight is very important and taking it seriously and training and being the best Ryan Ford he can be is paramount. And, you know, in his life. So I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that he just gets it. So, yeah, he's always a good interview too, man. And, you know, James Manning to follow, you know, follows Ryan Ford. And, you know, I don't know much about him. And, you know, he seems like a decent enough guy, pretty quiet, you know. But he, you know, we're in a pretty cool spot, man. We get an opportunity to see these parties. You know, you just talked about Jessica I for a little bit there. And, you know, it's so funny when they become stars, because Jessica, let's not kid ourselves, she's a star now. She, you know, it's so funny, all these people jumping on the bandwagon and saying, oh, I've been following her forever. Well, have you really tell me about her third amateur fight? Tell me what we talked about, because I got a chance to do that. So we're in a really cool place, and
I remember when she opened her Twitter page, and I think I was probably about her fourth follower. That's how long I've been following Jessica. Hi, man. A long time. One thing about Jessica, while we're talking about her, you know, there seems to be a lot of headlines about her going around right now, but, you know, I think there's a lot of BS going around as well, and, you know, as the saying goes, I believe, and, you know, I believe in Jessica.
Yeah, it's disgusting. You know, we're in the MMA media, and a lot of times we not we per se, but we meaning media are just bad people. You know, there's a lot we have. A lot of times we just have to fill stories and fill pages and, you know, things like that. And a lot of, especially now with how quickly you can get information and, you know, how quickly you can make information up. And I think it really, you know, whether it be good or bad, I think sometimes we're just disgusting people, meaning the media. And, you know, I think some of the stuff that is going around about Jessica, you know, I mean, what do they say? There's three sides to every story, your side, his side, and then the truth. I think that's kind of the way, you know, some of the stuff that's going around, I think, is just absolute false. So I don't know her quite as well as you do, I would say, but I tend to agree with you, Carl, that some of that stuff is malicious.
Oh, yeah, man, and it's all going to come out here soon, and there's going to be a whole bunch of websites, you know, media out there that I'm not going to mention names of that, you know, are just going to look like idiots.
Yeah, and that's not all bad. Yeah, that's not all bad.
Anyways, man, we've run this show, you know, a lot longer than we normally do. Could probably wrap her up, call it a night, and until next week.
Yeah, it's always a good time, Carl, when I get a chance to spend a Tuesday with a couple hours. You know, we didn't we moved our time all over the place, but I think we found a home at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night. I don't hate it, and, you know, I appreciate the people. I appreciate Cheyenne and James staying up late with me on the East Coast, and Ryan. I don't even know if they have time zones up in Canada.
He'd be in the same time zone as you, being in Montreal. Everybody's up late except for me and Skippy.
well, Skippy's always up, so it doesn't even matter if he goes to sleep. The guy's up. Carl, as always, my friend, I appreciate what you do. I appreciate what Skippy does. I have a great time doing it. Until next time, this is Jason Lennon for Full Guard Fight Radio with my co-host, Carl the Madman Mortensen. We'll see you right here next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, have a great night.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media. Design with...
Time to disperse. Party's over.